All right, so here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio. Thank you for making this possible, BBS, and I welcome all those who are joining in online. This is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the line already. The lines remain open. Every time you hear a ding, it's somebody joining in, and we had a few more people join in here in the last few seconds. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Yeah, hi, good evening, Don. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks. Hi, everybody.
This is Jane from Philadelphia.
Good evening, Jane. Thank you also for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So this is the Wednesday night where we do the questions and answers. I'm not certain yet if that's going to happen because Vin and Terry are... came back to yesterday probably already from the show in Denver.
I got an email from them, so I think they're going to do
it. Did you receive it? I looked earlier. I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, good.
Quarter
all right.
Two.
Yeah,
quarter
I hear
two.
Now too. So
I
yes, there is a Q&A call on tonight. Fantastic.
Is there a waiting list for the emails list or what?
No. Nope. You mail it in, and when, you know, sometimes we are short in questions, sometimes we have more questions than we can answer, and
no,
he usually
the,
looks, you know,
the,
if it's urgent for somebody for some purpose, then he will give those priority, and for the rest
email.
He looks at what's most relevant for the whole group, so... In the meantime, we had more people join in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, how you doing, brother?
Dharmananda.
I'm doing pretty good, and you?
All right, man, I'm doing well, thank you. And more people joined in, I welcome you. You want to please say your name and location?
Is that Wanda talking before from Saskatchewan?
Yep,
anybody
yeah.
grow hemp up there in your area?
Is there what?
Anybody growing hemp up in your area?
I'm not sure. Oh. If they are, it's more private than that. Up north, in the middle of Saskatchewan, where by Minot there is.
Mm-hmm.
Stick your nose out of the window, Wanda.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the same, you guys.
I'm supposed to quit everything in order to be a more enlightened being.
No, I don't believe
you
that.
You don't have to do that.
I don't agree either. I mean, I agree with you.
Well, I saw more people join in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, host. This is Terry in Phoenix.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi,
hey, Terry.
Terry.
Hi. Thank you.
All right.
Tonight, Terry. Terry, I called Carol, or Carola phoned me, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and your voice was coming through instead of hers.
Wow.
It was really funny.
Wow.
And then she says, and I was wondering, what? And then I says, hello, and everything again. And then she starts talking, and you're still in the background.
Wow.
And then
I see more people join in. Welcome to the
call.
Say your name.
If we're getting ready
Percy
for the call tonight.
I hear Percy. Hi, Percy. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Percy.
Who's that?
Guy.
All right, Uncle Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Uncle Terry.
Hi, Uncle Terry. Sunshine to you, Terry.
Hello.
Hey, Matthew.
Hi.
And bless you, Terry Brown.
I feel the energy off the book right now.
That's really good.
Send it this way, Carola.
Don't be calling people by their past lives. Okay?
The truth is the best, man.
Bad precedent.
I win.
Hey, everybody.
Free will.
I think we're almost on July 4th, right?
Yep. More days.
Too much noise.
Friday. Yeah, Friday.
Fireworks day.
I might tell you guys something really cool on Sunday about Terry and myself. Okay? We'll see. If Terry wants to do it.
Which Terry?
Terry Friedman. I mean, after all, it's July 4th. You know?
I don't know what you want. When? What is it?
Well, it's a surprise. It's a surprise. It's a surprise.
Of
I don't think he likes surprises.
Is it his birthday?
It's a good surprise.
Besides, I might change my mind between now and then. So, okay.
It's a surprise. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Did we get any last minute? We're still on the road. I mean, we were going to go back. We were going to go back today. We're in Phoenix. Hi, I don't have any control over the console, because our internet connection is really bad here in Phoenix at this motel. So,
what was the conference?
Those of you that have been tracking our calls know that we were in Denver for it's called the International New Age Trade Show.
There's too much background noise. Hold on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
You want me to start the recording, Wynn?
Yes, yeah, start the recording. Thank
all
you.
All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 2nd, 2014. Wynn Free and Terry Brown in Phoenix. We're moving around. And Terry Friedman in Phoenix. And all of you, wherever you are, and all involved in participating and supporting this great experiment of interdimensional interaction. And, of course, this is Wednesday, and this is the evening that people have submitted questions to us. And sometimes I answer the questions, sometimes our sources answer the questions, and sometimes Terry Friedman answers the questions. And as usual, no matter what the answer to a question is, please don't believe it. Please consider it. The only answers that are really valuable are ones that you can apply to your life and make your life different. And sometimes people ask questions that are, you know, we have burning curiosities about who we were, this and that and the other thing, and they ask questions about that. But those are not usually questions that our sources will answer. And rightfully so, because if you can't validate something yourself and some source tells you, you were this, you were that, you were the other thing, you were this person or whatever, what good is it? You know, it's like, does it help you? It can put you on an ego trip. It just so happens there's a few people on the line that have learned about some of their past lives, and the only reason they've ever said it, my sources anyway, I'm talking about other people, is because the only person, well, there were two times outright where they said it, and in one situation, let me just see. Of course, there's Terry in St. Catherine. And after they said it, we looked her up. Obviously, there was a huge connection. St. Catherine was a channel. She was a young girl. She had the same personality as Terry, some of Terry's issues. And Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. And I think they told us because they wanted Terry to be more confident. And, you know, this is tricky work. We've said it many times that the negative can come through this. How do you know who's talking to you has got positive intent, that doesn't have an agenda, and that I think that the knowledge of being St. Catherine helped Terry become more confident. It certainly didn't put her on an ego trip. Terry, what would you say about that? Are you muted?
Yeah. No, it didn't put me on an ego trip, but it helped me because I had memories of that lifetime, but I didn't connect them with that lifetime. With as St. Catherine, I had memories of levitating. I had memories like when I was healing somebody, I would levitate, and it was really embarrassing to do that because I felt very abnormal, but I could get a better positioning on the healing if I levitated. There's those memories of coming down the stairs and levitating and my mother getting very angry, saying, don't do that, you're going to kill yourself. And so anyway, it was nice to be able to put those memories with a lifetime.
Did it help you feel more confident about the work you were doing to put that together?
Yes. It helped me feel more confident. It helped me to know that I had a good lifetime. I remember having good lifetimes, but it was really comforting to know that I did, and it was remembered in the real world.
They were few and far between, right?
Well, I had some bad lifetimes, too.
You know,
we can't hear Wynn.
Wynn, yeah, are you there? We cannot hear what you're saying, Wynn.
Can you hear me now? Can you
yes.
hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So when I talk, the best way to mute your phone is this little button over here. Okay? Because you can't? Okay. Well, we'll just hope it works out okay. Okay? We are in the same room. Usually, we're in separate rooms. But in any case, you know, I believe that when you have these latent abilities to make a contribution to this realm, you keep coming in, but most of your lifetimes fail because you don't get the opportunity to do it. There has to be a certain set of structures, of synchronicities that occur. And I don't think it gets set up. Maybe it can for some people. You know, this is a good question sometimes to ask, maybe tonight. But I don't think it gets set up like you can set it up to be perfect. But you have to meet the right people. You have to have the right grounding, or else nothing happens. And so, you know, they told me I had many lifetimes as an orphan, where I died young, and, you know, I didn't get to manifest my higher aspects. So, it's just interesting. But in any case, we have some...
One of my bad lifetimes was I got really famous as an author in Paris, and I was promoting peace. I was fairly well off, and I had a library and a nice house. They came and got me and executed me and erased me from history. So my work never got heard or read or anything after they destroyed it. But I think I did a good job. You know, it's just I wasn't appreciated at all.
Okay, so let's get started. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of life and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our sources and our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
Yes, we are here. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. And we see your light and we connect with those that wish to be connected with. And we see your, we speak to one person who is listening. We see your grief and your anguish. And we send, we spread love light around for a moment of respite where you can relax into our energy arms and feel the love. You are loved, and let the anguish go for a moment and relax. We are here with you. We are here with each and every one of you. And we are anxious to answer your questions. And if something that we say does not resonate with you or is not applicable to you, let it go, as it is not for you at this time. And do you have questions?
Win, can't hear you.
Thank you for reminding me. I'm muting my phone because I'm in the same room with Terry, and I'm trying to forget to unmute it. Sorry. The Bible has the idea the kingdom of heaven is within. This is from Don Herman. And could you expound on what that means? And we'll ask our sources. We'll ask Dr. Friedman if he's up for it. And I will also give my take on that, which might be a little slightly different angle. So let me turn it over to our sources. And could you give an understanding of the kingdom of, actually, Don Herman wrote, the kingdom of God is within. I think it says the kingdom of heaven is within. But thank you.
Do you want a response from me, Wynn?
Yes. Yes.
Well, actually, all we need is within us right now, because we are truly gods in the making. And one of my goals is to not only inform people and tell them the truth, but to bring heaven onto earth. And that, the way we do that is by improving ourselves, by our meditation, by our prayers, by our affirmations. We're to improve ourselves. In so doing, we release that energy of God within. God is within us, and we can bring that down. As we do that, we permeate that beautiful godlike energy around us and out beyond us, and integrate that with surrounding persons. So basically, we are gods in the making. We are, we'll say, for lack of a better term, we are baby gods, every one of us. And we have all that we ever need within us right now as I speak. So all we need to do is to acknowledge that, expand that,
And as we change, so will the world around us change. So that's my interpretation.
Thank you, Terry. Maybe I should, before we go to our sources, give our sources the last word, let them comment on what we say. I wanted to say a similar idea that Terry said, but in a different terminology. And that is, the universe is made up of timelines, and we're positioned in a certain timeline, which people call 3D. And there's all these other timelines. And as we grow, as we meditate, as we do spiritual practices, and for some people it happens just by coming into our Sunday call, we start to move our space into these different timelines. And we try to understand this on a 3D level, but it's not a 3D experience. In the truth, there is no universe. There is no time. There is no space. And each of us is in the center of that no time and no space. When you're in no time and no space, you are actually in the center of creation. And when you're in the center of creation, that's when you're in what some people could call the God field. You're not in here, you know, as Jesus said, I am in this planet, but I'm not of it. And that's accessible to each of us by moving our consciousness into the moment and expanding into other timelines. Now, if you could do that by willpower, and if I could tell you how to do that by willpower, it would be phenomenal. But you can't do it by willpower. You can only do it by following an example of somebody. This is what I think. You can only do it by following an example of someone that's actually doing that. And there's something in the example that transfers where you learn how to do it by the example, by the transfer of energy, and not by following some linear thing, do A, B, C, D, and this happens. That's why people meditate in a group. That's why we do our Sunday conference call. That's why we do many things that help us access the timelines where time stops, and that you have the experience of being in the center of the universe, which is, I believe, what Jesus meant when he said, the kingdom of heaven is inside you. But the truth is, there's no inside, there's no outside. Everything is one. So the kingdom of heaven is outside you, is inside you. When you go beyond duality in your positioning of your consciousness, there is no inside, outside. There's no here and there. It all becomes just one energy that all looks at all these different many manifestations. That's my take on the answer to that. And Don, thanks for asking such a provoking question. You got a good crew here to address it. Let me turn it over to our sources as they would speak through Terry. Thank you.
Thank you. Each of us, each of you, is a spark of the one being who is God. Each of us is a spark of God. And as such, we carry within us the kingdom of heaven. And when we can eliminate all the not us's, all the things that we have picked up that are not really us, we get back to the kingdom of heaven. and we find out who we really are as a spark of God. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Don Herman, for your question. Next question here is Dave Farringer in Grove, Pennsylvania, put his name on our In the Light form on for one of our Sunday calls. And I don't remember this, but he says that I took a moment for him on that call and asked everyone to send love light to Dave. And Dave had an experience when that was going on. He felt a distinct energy field, mainly around his biceps. And they could tell the energy moved in a toroid pattern, like a donut shape, and then joined laterally across my chest. The energy carried two emotions, acknowledgement and reassurance, and it seemed to have more than one presence. It was very pleasant, to say the least. My question is, I would like to understand the science of that event. What I like to call the math. Was it like this? When started the intent? The folks on the call put the thought of sending love light in their minds. All the energy was literally focused and possibly amplified by our sources, and they aimed it at me. Since I was receptive to it, it didn't violate my free will, and I received it. Is that about right? That's Dave Farringer in Grove, Pennsylvania, I believe. Thank you.
That is correct. You are as a blackboard or a whiteboard upon which the intent, which also is your intent, was written, and it moved through the areas that were receptive in your body to receive that energy and wrote it on the energies that were in your body. Thank you.
And thank you, Dave, for validating what we do on Sundays, because, you know, this is like invisible stuff. We really can't see it. And it's you have to get the intuitive feel of it. And what we did was, I got that you got it. It's like we do it every Sunday. We put our energies together. We combine our energies with our sources. And then we direct it in different ways, different intentions. And when we can find an arena where we're not violating free will, and it could be a big arena, it could be a small one, but when we find that, it makes a really strong chance that something will actually happen and something will actually transform and somebody will feel the energy or some synchronicity will occur. And we've cracked code for the nature of prayer. That's how prayer works, because it's the interlinking of group energies for a common intent, for the highest good of all concerned, honoring free will. I never said that before. I thought that came out fairly accurate, the interlinking of group energies. So even one person can create an intention and start an interlinking of energies with the higher realms to cause something to manifest that wouldn't have otherwise. Okay, let's go on.
Thank you. We have one other thing to add. Those of you who are trying out the answer to that question, it is written three-dimensionally. So take it from the second dimension, the flat area, and make it three-dimensional if you are working with that concept. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have a message from Cleo in New Canaan, Connecticut. And my mother, Mary Frankson, just passed away. And we were wondering about the significance of 40 days. We were told to pray for her soul, for the forgiveness of her sins for these 40 days. Is it because she's going through a reevaluation of the events of her life and how she related to others? Is it because a judgment will be made as to where her soul will reside after the 30 days? We would appreciate any clarity you can give to the significance of 40 days. Thank you, Cleo, New Canaan, Connecticut. Thank you, Cleo.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see that your mother is working through as if it were a life review. A life review is not a judgment by someone else. A life review is one looking at their actions and the effect of their actions on another. If during her life she has had an effect upon you that was uncomfortable or was not the best for you, then give her forgiveness for that. It is not a judgment. It is a looking at what she has done and not forgiving herself. If you forgive her, it will make it much more easy for her to forgive herself. She is very hard on herself at times and wanting to have done the right thing. So extend your mother any forgiveness that you can see that you may wish. And send her love that will help her through her life review and ease her own judgment upon herself. We hope that helps.
I'd like to ask two further clarifying questions about this. One of them is, Cleo mentioned 40 days. Is there any special significance to 40 days, or is that just arbitrary?
It is the amount of time when a person is transitioning and is getting used to life in the astral, life without the body. There are great many differences between being able to walk the body around, to be able to feel through the body, be able to use the senses, be able to feel the bed underneath on, and then these are all anchoring things and anchor one to their density. In the first 40 days, the person is getting used to a different life and is able to take on light. Depending upon one of the things is the forgiveness of themselves, they're able to take on more light as they are able to let themselves go, let open their heart, and to forgive themselves for anything that they may have done that they did not feel quite right about. So 40 days is a critical time in the transitioning of a person to the higher realm. Thank you.
And the idea of a person having a life review during that 40 days, is that something that is programmed into the evolutionary process of humans? Or is that life review something that is stimulated by an external awareness, an external consciousness, helping and guiding the person?
It is a part of their transition in helping them to let go of their positioning in the third density, and they're moving into the astral. They are able, when they can untangle their relationships, their transactions, their events that have happened, when they can see it clearly, then they are able to let go of that. With some individuals, it is automatic. They begin to think about it even as they are passing or before they are passing other people. They sopped into the third density and not want to let that go, and they do not go through a life review at that time. Some people, they move into the heavenly realm, and they are helped through this by an angel and helped through a life review and can relate their life to the individual who is helping them to get debriefed and move into the heavenly realm.
So it seems to indicate that while a person is having this life review, those people that were connected to that person can still have a significant impact on them, even though they're not in a physical body, by forgiving them and sending them love light. That is
correct. If they are resentful and blaming them, then it makes it very hard for the person to forgive themselves and to resolve it within themselves. They have an easier time to forgive themselves if it is not held in place by the resentments of somebody back in the third density.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a really classic answer.
Can we send some love light to Chloe's mom, please?
To whose mom?
Chloe's mom.
Cleo? Is it Cleo? Yeah.
Cleo, sorry.
Just do that. Let's send love light to Cleo's mom. And you know what? For all of you that have had anyone who has passed, and you know, I'll ask our sources. Let's suppose something happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Is it still effective to send forgiveness? Does it wear down?
Yes, it is still effective, although the more time that passes, and depending upon the situation of the person that's passed, it depends on how much time has passed and where their attention and focus is now, but it can help. Even if it is lifetimes earlier, it can help to release that, and it releases one aspect in the person's baggage that they carry along.
You know, when somebody passes, obviously we've had many, many lifetimes, and in our many lifetimes, we've had many ages. You know, we've been children, we've been adults, we've been senior citizens, we've been men, we've been women. So when somebody passes, do they stay at the age that they passed at for a long period of time before they rebirth themselves into a new age, so to speak, or a youngster? How does that work?
No, they often take on the aspect of the body when the body was at its prime, 38 years or 23 years. It depends upon when it was a very good stage for the body, and they take on that aspect in their light body.
So even if they're old, they don't hold an astral body that's old.
That's correct.
They choose the astral body that was the best, the most, one they liked the best during their life period.
That's correct, and they manifest that.
Gary is 25.
Pardon?
Gary might be 25 right now. Gary Brownlee.
Yeah. You know, we're on this subject, and I think we should, I think it's a good idea to just send some love light to Gary Brownlee, who was working with us for quite a few years in a volunteer aspect, and then take a moment of silence and just send Gary some gratitude.
Gary is looking over his family and looking over his wife from the other side. He very much cares for his family and his wife.
And then I bet you all of us have someone in our space that has passed, that we could all hold this space and hold this energy and put them into it. And if you have anything to forgive, the good time to forgive them. So let's do that right now. And let's take this moment and do the same thing for people that are alive and that are struggling and that are in dysfunction and pain. We could put Carla Ruckert in this light. Let's put Terry Friedman in this light for healing. And all of you, take the people that you care about right now and let them cross the screen of your awareness one by one. And as they cross the screen, send this pure love energy to them. Right now. And this can be people that are past and people that are alive. particularly people that are alive. You know, sometimes when we do this kind of healing, some of you get really tired, and that's good, because you move into a very deep and healing sleep, and that's good. And I know there's a connection between sleep of a certain quality of sleep and healing. You know, I never asked that question. Maybe I'll ask that question right now. Could you share some of the, can our sources share some of the connection between sleep and healing and how to move into that kind of sleep that creates healing for us?
Thank you. One of the things is when a person first goes to bed, and in that period when they're going to sleep, to ask for healing and a healing sleep. Sometimes sleep can be a teaching sleep, where there can be scenarios that are given that are teaching, that give lessons that the person needs. Sometimes there can be dreams, even shared dreams between people. So sometimes the sleep can be almost, in a way, a lot of work. When a person is going through trauma, it can bring traumatic dreams, things that they have been working through and do not even remember, and they're hard to remember when the person wakes up. So to ask to tune in to the higher sources of love and of healing, and put yourself into that framework and ask for it to be a healing sleep before you go to sleep. And then when you get up, take a few minutes between the sleep and the waking up to remember what you can, and to write down in your journal, was it a healing sleep? And what was the relationship between the frame of mind you were in when you went to sleep and you asked for a healing sleep, and what you actually remember of having while you were asleep? Do you feel refreshed? Or were you working through something? You can learn much by recording your dreams.
Another question on the same topic. Since sleep is a way for healing and for reprogramming yourself and for even connecting with messages from very high sources, is sleep something that the negative can potentially use, the state when a person's in the astral and sleeping? In a negative way? If so, how can one protect themselves?
Thank you. By tuning yourself before you go to sleep, as we have mentioned, sometimes for instance, with which a spell, it can move into the subconscious and can take over the dreams while asleep or the state of mind while asleep. But tuning yourself before you go to sleep and keeping with a positive frame of mind will be your best protection.
So it is possible for a person to have, I guess, of course it's possible because there'd be no such thing as a nightmare if it wasn't possible. But it is possible for the negative to interface with somebody while they're sleeping.
It is possible, yes.
Thank you. I know we have some people to send in questions, but our internet connection is down in this hotel we're in. And I think there was one more question for tonight that I didn't do. And, Hives, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Hives.
Yes.
There's some extraneous noise on the line. Maybe you could mute it. You see it? Okay, thank you. Now, this is a question that will be our last question for the evening. I don't even know if they're going to answer it. This is one of those questions that's really hard. As I read the question, I'm going to give all my side comments so you understand why it's a difficult question to address. And I get questions all the time, like, what do I think of this, and what do I think of that? And ask them as such and so positive. And those are not good questions, because it takes away your power of discernment and learning. And if a source is willing to tell you what's positive and what's negative, that's probably a negative source, because a positive source wouldn't do that. They would say, here's some guidance, and you have to make up your own mind. Whereas a negative source would be very happy to tell you, when is negative? Or so-and-so is negative. And they could be doing just the opposite of what was really positive for you and turning you away from what was positive. So this is why it is so important that you apply extreme discernment and testing. The bottom line is the proof is in the pudding, the fruits, judge by their fruits. If something is positive, it will contribute to your life in a way that you know it made a contribution. If something has shifted in your life, you applied something, something happened, and something shifted. And that, you don't need an opinion on. You did it, it worked for you, you know how it worked, you can recommend it to other people, they can do it, and it's indisputable. But when it comes into, hear this question, I'm going to make comments as I read this. And this is from Julianne in San Diego. And so here we go. I was recently told in a reading that I am a very spiritual being and was very closely connected to Saint Michael in a past life. Now, that all may be true, but a person is telling you what you are, and they're telling you who you're connected with. Is St. Michael positive just because he's St. Michael? I've read books that said Archangel Michael, if that's who they're talking about, is not positive. And we actually had talked to Archangel Michael quite a bit at the beginning of the sessions with DK. So so I was told that St. Michael is always with me. Can you please comment on if, in fact, this is true, and how can I know or feel St. Michael's presence with me? And, of course, we should ask, is if there's a St. Michael's presence, is it a positive presence, okay? You see, I don't want to ask that, but I'm going to let our sources decide in their own wisdom how they would choose to answer that question. And Julianne, thank you for asking in San Diego.
Thank you. We take a look and we see that St. Michael is with you, and we see that a large part of St. Michael is very positive and is guiding and is concerned and is caring with any of the archangels. They are in some aspects in their own growth pattern, and as such you need to use discernment and see what they say, whether it resonates with you or not. It is the same with us. See what we say and see if it resonates with you. And if it doesn't, then don't resonate with it. Just discard it. If something resonates with you, then take it on and work with it and get growth from it. Archangels generally are positive. They are, from our aspect, they are within the lower realms, but they are really working hard to help guide and to be with an individual. And so use your judgment and see what you can take from it that helps you and what encourages you and what makes you stronger. You are the litmus paper of their resonance and what help they are giving. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And on that note, it is 6:55, and I have no control of all of this.
I'll open up the lines, man.
So you can unmute the lines. And
all callers are unmuted.
Say goodbye to everybody, and Terry and I are pretty tired tonight, so we're just going to go snooze. And thank you all for asking questions. And, you know, I want to thank everybody who's been making donations. I missed that. I realized there's a lot of you who are sending little bits of money here and there, and it really makes a difference. And you know what? It makes us feel appreciated for showing up all the time and doing this. So if anyone wants to do that, just go to donations.intelligent-infinity.com. Donations. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It just send your heart energy out with it and makes us feel supported. On that note, we'll see you all next time, Sunday.
Thank you, Vin. Thank you, Terry Brown. Thank you, Uncle Terry.
Thank you very much.
And everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Sunshine to you all.
Thank you.
Hi, is Wanda
good
still
night,
on?
Everyone.
Hey, Wanda.
Wanda's
there. You know, the question you asked before the call about if you give up
your
everything.
Your conference recording has stopped.
I think a good question for Wednesday. You should submit that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, be interesting for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Have a great night, everybody.
Hey, sunshine to you all.
Thank you. Wish us rain.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Independence Day.